Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for this time to come together in your name and be able to teach, have you teach us, Father. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to study your word that teaches us how to live our lives and how to, and what lies ahead in the future. Father, we need your help, Father, to help us to see clearly your plan for our salvation and what our next step is, now that we put our trust in your Son as our Lord and Savior and received your free gift of your righteousness through him. Amen. I believe, maybe wrong here, but I believe that everybody here is a born-again Christian. And what I will be talking about may be just a refresher course for everyone. But here goes anyway. In order for me to get into the next step in God's plan for our salvation, I need to talk a little about the first step we take when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and become born-again Christians. First of all, the term born-again or justified is the first step we take in God's plan for our salvation. I have a question for everyone. How many here have heard the word justified used in reference to being born again? See, raise your hands. Okay, some of you are familiar with it. Basically, the word justification is a judicial term meaning being declared not guilty before God. Let us all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And someone please read it. Chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, for that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I believe Apostle Paul is telling us here in this verse that justification is a gift from God given to us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I also believe this verse tells us clearly that Christ has already paid the penalty for us, and there's nothing more we can do to add to it. My hope is that everyone here understands that being born again or justified is just the first step we take in God's plan for our salvation. Also, justification is referred to as our first inheritance, which again is a free gift given to us as believers by God. Now let us get into the next step in God's plan for our salvation that I believe all of us are taking part in at this time. The next step in God's plan is called sanctification, which means separated unto God. Now I have another question. Who knows what it means to be separated unto God? Pastor?
You mean explain?
If you would like.
It means to set aside, not contaminated by the other carnal things.
Right. To me, separated unto God means that we are undergoing a process to be made clean, holy, and righteous in all we think and say and do. Now, as I see things, I think that we all can agree that God's sanctification process will continue as long as we are in these fleshly bodies. I think at this time we need to be aware that this sanctification process that God is now using to conform us back into his image was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Now let us turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Okay, I think that this verse is clearly telling us, as born-again Christians, God wants to conform us back into Christ's image. This, of course, is not just for us to know or only talk about. As believers, it's now become our responsibility. Now let us turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And someone please read that. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like the second half of this where it says, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I see in this verse that Apostle Paul is telling us the sanctification of our soul is God's will for every believer. Now I have another question. Do we know what our soul is made up of?
Our soul.
Our soul. Anybody have any comments? Right. I think we all need to be aware that our soul is made up of our natural thoughts, emotions, and desires. And because of this, God's plan is to make us clean, holy, righteous in everything we do and say. So we know God's will is to conform us into Christ's image. But we also need to realize it depends upon our willingness as believers to die to self and to be alive unto God. Now I have another question. What does it mean to die to self and to be alive unto God? Anyone? Okay, to me it's all about my moment-by-moment choices every day.
Amen.
Will I put aside my worldly thoughts and desires and at least put them in second place and focus on hearing from God and what His will is for my life? I have another question. I think that every one of us here knows the way we discover God's will in our lives, and that's by what? Okay, to me, it's digging into God's Word and staying continuously in prayer, which I think we all struggle with. Again, let me say it. All of us need to get it. God's goal is to sanctify us and make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 21. I believe that now in our sanctification process, we simply need to recognize that the choices we make every day really do matter. We also need to learn to recognize when we blow it and quench God's Spirit. Now I've got another question. Who knows what it means to quench God's Spirit? I know the word quench kind of confuses people at times. So let us look in God's Word and look at a few verses and see if we can understand what it means. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, and someone please read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It's an easy one. Jack can do it. Okay, do not quench the Spirit. That's the New King James. Does somebody have the New Living Translation? Yeah, I like that. I like that better. Here we see in the New King James that the word Spirit is capitalized. Of course, that means Paul is telling us not to quench God's Spirit in our lives. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Now in this verse we see the word grieve. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Now, again, we as believers who have a new spirit and a new heart filled with God's Holy Spirit and are being told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe that what these two verses are saying to us is quenching the Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit means do not block God's Spirit in our lives. I think we can also take from these two verses, if we as believers continue to make emotional choices to follow our own desires rather than God's, then we are quenching or blocking His will in our life. Now, to me, quenching God's Spirit is when I choose to go my own merry way and knowingly go against God's will. Me personally, this is when I decide to go ahead and do something that I desire to do, like watching TV or maybe spending time on the internet, when I know I should be going to the Lord in prayer or serving the Lord in some way that will glorify Him. Or when I make excuses not to help somebody just because I don't feel like it at the time and say to myself, not my problem. Now I have another question. How many of us here have acted this way about something and quenched, or you might say, blocked or grieved God's Spirit? Yeah. Anyone want to elaborate? I believe that we all can agree that we need to work harder at overcoming our flesh and starting to make faith choices to turn away from our worldly desires and repent of them and go God's way. That's with the exception of Jerry, but Jerry's not here, so I'll have to pick on somebody else. I guess I'll pick on Barbara. I think that I need to stop here for a moment and make something clear to everyone. When I speak of us as believers overcoming our flesh, I am not talking about us as if we were a special class of Christians, or that we are anywhere near perfect. Absolutely not. I'm talking about us as believers who simply recognize their choices and turn and go God's way. Now, as I said earlier, I believe that all of us know how to discover what God's will or way is for our lives. I say to you, how many times have we heard Pastor Juno tell us that the best way to find out what God's will or way is in our lives is to be continuously studying God's Word and staying daily in prayer? I do believe if we start making faith choices in our lives each day and learn to turn away from our worldly desires and go God's way, Christ then will do the rest. He's the one who will sanctify us. He's the one who will make us partakers of His life. And He's the one that will help us and preserve us until the end. All He wants from us is our willingness to let Him do His will through us. But again, it's going to be our constant choices that we make every day to whether or not we let God perform His will through us. I know that the sobering part of all of this is that our eternal destiny depends on our daily, moment-by-moment choices. This life that we are living is just a testing ground or a proving ground for the role that we will have in the future kingdom of God. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, and someone please read it. I really like this verse. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. All things. You realize all things? And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's a wonderful verse. I love this verse. There are two things that I understand from this verse. Number one is, entering the kingdom of God simply means being born again and having faith in Christ's completed work on the cross. And secondly, whereas merit, our obedience, our fruitfulness will be required of us in order to qualify to receive a role, a position, and a place of responsibility in God's future kingdom. As born-again Christians, I believe that the work we do towards this second inheritance in the kingdom of God will not only have a profound effect on our daily lives here and now, but it will be a basis for encouragement for the difficult times of the present and those that lie ahead. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter, or Proverbs 13, verse 12. And someone please read that. Okay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. To me, this verse is telling us that when our hope, which is in our inheritance in Christ, is realized, or you might say apprehended or taken a hold of, it will become a tree of life. Now, the tree of life in this verse is the tree that's in the Garden of Eden. And I believe that this verse is saying to us that through righteousness and wisdom, we can recover the lost tree of life. Okay, as we all know, all born-again Christians will be with Christ in the coming millennium. But only those who constantly recognize that their daily choices really matter and choose to turn around and follow Christ, that is, repent, will receive this second inheritance in the future kingdom of God. In other words, what we do after being born again will dramatically affect our role, our position, and our place of responsibility in God's future kingdom. Let us pray once more. Father, we are so thankful for the love that you give us, and for most of all for your Son, for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay the debt for all of our sins. Father, help us to see clearly the choices we make every day really do matter. Please give us the strength to turn from our worldly desires and follow your plan for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.